Hello and welcome once again to The Last Video Store, the show where I, Alexis Toliopoulos, talk to cool, funny and interesting people about their favourite films, and we do so on this show in the style of an old school video store rental combo, where I will give them a custom recommendation based on their favourite films. And over this January period, we are going to be re-releasing a bunch of what I would say are my favourite, best and coolest episodes of this podcast, picked by me, producer M, and also you, the audience, of what we think the best episodes are. And we're kicking things off with one of my best friends, Aaron Chen, one of the funniest freaking comedians in the world right now. And I would say of the ages, not just right now, of the ages. I love Aaron so much. We've worked together so freaking much over the years. And of course, he's gone on to so many great things now that he's moved to New York City. So I want to celebrate Aaron on this episode and all his achievements by re-releasing it. I love talking to Aaron about film. We actually email each other quite a bit about films that we want each other to see. And I give him a great recommendation on this one. Of course, you can see Aaron on Spelling Bee, Guy Montgomery's Guy Spelling Bee. He is the co-host on that show, and he's so freaking funny. In particular, very funny on season 2, where I also star. But we're going to get into the episode, and if you love this podcast, share it amongst your friends, especially over this January period where we're putting out some of our best episodes all over again. A great way to get your friends onto one of the best movie podcasts in the history of both mediums, film and podcasting. And actually, one more thing while I'm on my high horse, book tickets to see my comedy festival show this year. The show's called VHS. It's at Adelaide, Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney Comedy Festival. You can pick up tickets on comedy.com.au to see my tour. If you like hearing me talk about movies, that's what this show is. It's all about my misadventures in being a freaking film lover. Let's get to our episode with Aaron. Well, if it isn't my dear old friend, Aaron Chen.
Thanks for having me on this show. I've watched heaps of movies. I'm a real movie guy, very knowledgeable. So it makes sense that I'm...
It absolutely makes sense. I'm feeling a force of cinephilia emanating from your brain as my brain connects to it inside this fantastical realm full of film, movies, and even the biggest of them all, cinema.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, smoke them if you got them, brother. This is the place to do so. But Aaron, I'm very excited to talk to you about films today. And I want to kick things off by asking you, have you ever been a member of another video store?
A member of another video store? Yes, I have been. Oh, I've used my dad. I think my dad was a member of Blockbuster, and I got...
Do you remember which Blockbuster?
I think there was one in like Mount Cola or Mount Keringai or something. It was like,
wow, Mount Cola.
I lived in Asquith.
Like a soda.
Yeah. Do you know this suburb?
No, I don't know it. I know Asquith, where you're from, though.
Asquith, I'm from there. And I remember not going south to Hornsby. Although there was like a Video Easy in Hornsby.
I went to the Video Easy in Hornsby. You've that was one there. Of my video stores growing
I think
up.
That was... Really? Growing up?
Yeah, my dad lived in Eastwood, so I had to like jump back that way a lot. So I used to go to, there was a Video Easy in Hornsby, and there was also a Video, I think Video Easy in Eastwood that I would go to as well.
Yeah.
Well, but they, I would never consider them my home video stores. No. I was just a visitor, an interloper, if you will.
Okay, what was your home one?
My home one, I worked at Mondo Movies in Annandale, I had a Top Video in Dulwich Hill.
That's
and there
awesome.
Was a Video Easy in Leichhardt too. But yes. Tell me about this Mount Cola.
Mount Cola Blockbuster. I think it was Blockbuster. Can't remember. There was a video store somewhere and I got videos there sometimes, but it was like just me watching them because my dad would take me, but then I started getting video games.
Oh, okay.
And then one time I wanted to get out a video game that was like a... maybe like GTA or similar to that.
Wow, something and quite treacherous.
I had to get my dad to go to the counter because I wasn't allowed to do it. And he was like, okay. And then he took it and then he read the
the little classification.
And he's like, sex.
You can fuck in this game? Okay, let's get it for the whole family.
Yeah, it was bad. And then and my like family friend was there, like this older woman, and they all thought I was like a pervert and stuff.
It sounds like a moment that may have shaped the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Wow, did you ever get to play Grand Theft Auto?
I did. I played Vice City later in life, but, and maybe GTA 5.
Well, I hope one day you get to have sex with a virtual prostitute, sex worker, in any kind of virtual space.
I'm glad that I never was allowed to take that game out.
You were able to
remember. 1 week is not enough for Grand Theft Auto.
You need to immerse yourself in a second life in there, start a new world, a new family.
Yeah. Imagine that, trying to finish Grand Theft Auto in a week.
In just 1 week, I mean, you would have to give up a lot of your life.
Yeah.
I hope you didn't pick up any movies at the same time, because there will be huge distractions from you trying to build a crime empire in a virtual Miami City lookalike.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that's a beautiful story to take me back into the world of you, video games, rentals, and your father's watchful eye of his son's burgeoning hormonal growth.
Very watchful.
Well, you know, Aaron, you and I have shared a lot of movies together over the past, and I'm going to send you out to pick up some combo of movies.
Yes.
We've got a special here just for you. Well, anyone that comes onto this program, not just for you, but I want to make you feel special for at least 3 seconds while I said it. Did you feel special?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it worked.
Yeah, I always feel special around you. Wow. You make anyone feel special.
Wow, Alexei. That's it. I emanate a positivity that is hard to capture.
Yeah.
And hopefully this audio and video form does capture it in some way. But I'm going to send you out, pick up some movies. One new release title, which is any film from the last 5 years. Two weeklies. And then the honor will be upon me to bestow upon you a customized recommendation based on you, your taste, and the flicks that you've discussed with me on this program. So head on out, pick them up. Let's come back and chat about them.
New release.
All right, Aaron, you have got a beautiful stack of movies for a beautiful, charming fella.
Yes.
These movies have inspired you. They've touched minds, they've touched hearts, and hopefully they've touched artistic processes for you.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe quite a bit. These are some of the movies that I've watched the most times. Like, I can never answer the question, like, what's your favorite movie or stuff like that? Because I like every movie I see.
I think you and I are similar in that regard, where we're more inclined to like something than dislike something and see merits in things. Like, for me, it's like if I see one thing in a movie I like, I go, well, I loved that movie.
I forget that, like, the rest of it's bad, you know? If it ends nicely and there's, like, some exciting stuff, I'll like it.
Yeah.
I reckon there's, like, 5 movies I haven't liked in the past. But these are the movies that I must like because I kept going back to.
Are you a revisitor of films often?
Rarely.
A re-watcher?
Rarely, but if I like something a lot, I'll like.
It plays on your mind.
Yeah, even movies that I really like, I can't watch it like twice. But
wow.
If I watch something twice, it's pretty nice.
So these 3 films are pretty nice in that respect.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about your overnight title first, which has recently just been returned to the video store by Angela White, who picked it up most recently.
Yes.
And this might be the last time it's an overnight new release title. This is one of my favorite films in the last few years. I know it's one of yours, not just because you picked it, because you and I were fucking obsessed with this movie when it came out. We're, of course, talking about the film from the Safdie brothers, Uncut Gems.
We love it, yeah.
Cult.
What made you pick this movie, and what is the thing that kind of keeps you coming back and back to this film?
I think when it was coming out, it was so exciting because it was like, Safdie brothers were hot at the time. I think I'd
hot
just seen
Good Time.
Good Time and stuff like that. And it's like, I like them, but it was like hearing that Adam Sandler was in it and was going to wear cool clothes and be like,
he's going to rock a
gritty
Furby.
Film.
Yeah.
There's a Furby in it. There's basketball players.
Yeah.
There's the Weeknd's about to be hot in it.
It's oh my God.
Exciting.
It was an intoxicating time, right?
Yeah.
I remember like years before this had even been at least like a little, you know, a sparkle in the Safdie brothers' eyes. I thought that I put it out into the universe and made a bet that within 10 years, Adam Sandler's going to win an Oscar. Yeah. And when this film started happening, go, God, I feel something. I feel it happening. I probably was like the Howard Ratner. I was like, I could put money on this and pull in big. Pull in big.
You thought he was going to get the Oscar.
Yeah, but yeah. When I say made a bet, it was me and Cameron James saying we both think that he'll win, he'll win a freaking Oscar in 10 years. So we both were betting on the same thing against no one but just our, I guess, fate in the universe.
Yes.
And we didn't pull it off, but we got freaking mighty close.
He didn't even get a nom, but it also felt like kind of the last movie because I remember it was just before the pandemic it came out. I watched it in the cinemas twice, sat in like the front row one time, and that's a horrible front row movie because it's so... The camera's like never still.
You're too close to the anxiety of the film when you're in the front row.
Yeah, I always forget that it's an anxious film. I just remember that it's like Adam Sandler and he's cool.
I don't find, like, a lot of people go, oh, it's the most stressed I've ever been. But I'm like, no, I find this quite a calming presence for me, this movie. Because I'm just seeing things that I like. Like, I love seeing Adam Sandler. I love that kind of yellow and black top with the leather jacket he wears. I love, like, that New York gritty urban vibe. And I've seen this movie probably like 6 or 7 times.
Yes.
3 of those times are with my mother. And she is...
she loves it?
She loves this movie.
Wow.
And she's not... She hates Adam Sandler. It was always like a thing where I was obsessed with Adam Sandler growing up. Really? And she would just be like, I hate this man. He's always screaming.
Yeah, people hated him back then.
And then I just kind of slowly indoctrinated my mum to this movie. Just been like, Mum, you'll love this. It's like a Sidney Lumet film on like disgusting like acid. You'll love it. And she eventually... Within 10 minutes of watching it, goes, this is one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. Yeah.
She's a cinephile as well.
Occasionally, she dips her toes into cinephilia. Occasionally.
Yeah.
In parts of her life, she's been a cinephile. Let's talk about that Adam Sandler performance, though.
Yeah.
Will we ever see an Aaron Chen move from comedic acting to dramatic Safdie brother style acting?
If they'll let me do it, I might try to do it, but I also
only
like,
with the Safdies.
Only with the Safdies.
And they have to reform. Unfortunately, they broke up.
They did break up, and they're still broken up.
They're still broken up. I hear that they're trying to change each other's last names.
Really?
No. That was a goofy moment of me to say. That was not true.
I don't know why I believe that.
I can't lie to you. If you ask me direct, I will crumble immediately.
I don't know. This is filming is you have to wake up really early.
That's a tough
thing. They're long days, you know?
Yeah.
But these guys, they like to work with comedians or they did that Nathan Fielder stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I love that curse as well.
You loved it?
I loved it, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. What do you think about Adam Sandler in this film?
He's lovely. He's really, really lovely, man. He's so nice in it. He can do it all. Yeah. I feel like when he did Hustle, like he was trying to do Uncut Gems again. And I like that as well.
I love Hustle.
He's a great actor.
I think he's such a great actor. And I think when they utilize his, like, you know, obviously Sandler, he channels a lot of his comedy through rage or a lot of his rage through comedy. But I think that the way that they're able to compound rage with stress and anxiety for this character, I think it's one of the best performances like in any movie. Every time I watch this film, I go, how the fuck did this not even get nominated for an Oscar, let alone win Best Actor of like the fucking decade or something?
Yeah, wow, that's a big call.
It's a big call. What did they give it to? Rami Malek or some shit?
Yeah, for Rocketman.
Yeah, okay. That's actually on false information.
It's unfalse? Can I pour some of this?
Of course, pour away, babe.
Pour away. Yeah, I mean, I like that guy. He's Adam Sandler. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can be quiet too, you know? Punch Drunk Love is quiet. This is quiet at times, yeah.
He can move between modes quite powerfully. Mm-hmm. You're a New Yorker these days. Do you feel like you're living in an Uncut Gems world? Is that
sometimes I walk through the Diamond District and there's like pictures of the Furbies and stuff. I walk past the store that he works on. It's awesome.
Have you ever gone into the store?
No, I'm too nervous to. But I have been into similar stores, but when I go back next, I'm going to go visit. Because I always walk past it, but you think you're not allowed. Because there's all these like photos of rappers and stuff in the wall that have been in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's all like...
They don't have comedians on the wall.
They don't have comedians. I guess Adam Sandler.
I guess. I mean, he's done stand-up comedy. He's a crossover. Yeah. And I would love to see him do rapping as well.
I don't know about that.
his music.
I think he has done rapping.
He must have, right? Because he's done lots of music.
In his latest special, he's done rapping.
I think that would
title
be
title of Uber Driver Smells Bad.
I mean, that is true. And Phone Wallet Keys is kind
he's
of
good
like
in
a rap, too.
What's that?
Phone Wallet Keys is kind of a rap.
He's a good rapper.
He's one of the best,
he's
I reckon.
He's adopted the mumblings. He's one of the best rappers now.
I put him toe to toe with anybody, especially in that New York scene. Okay, he's got it. If you were to get any item of yours, like a Furby, encrusted in jewels, gilded in gold, plated in platinum.
Plated in platinum.
What would you choose?
Surrounded by silver, I would. I love fancy glasses. I saw a pair of Swarovski glasses with little crystals in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Very beautiful. But I would have to pick the microphone, the humble microphone. You could take it around. It's kind of statement piece.
Of course. Would you just plug and play?
Plug and play.
Yeah. Wow.
Shure SM25.
The modern microphone of choice. Yeah, gorgeous. Okay. What kind of jewels are we encrusting on there?
I would be mainly diamonds. I didn't think about it, but you'd put emeralds and stuff like that. Jealousy, envy, that's like show business colors, that type of thing. What about you, my friend?
Wow. Yeah, well, you know, for me, it probably would be a mic, but it would be a podcast-style microphone
like
for me.
This.
And I would have the full arm, not unlike this one. That would also be encrusted. And I would do some blue and white, some sapphires and diamonds to enshrine my heritage on there as well.
Grease.
You know? Do you show
That's
grease
good.
Is the word for me, you know? That's what it would be all about.
Did you feel like this movie was like the last movie, you know? You know what I mean?
I think it's a really like spot on point because to me, 2019, the year this came out, was my most exciting time in the cinema.
Yeah.
It was like so many great films like this. And I remember it was 1 week where I saw The Irishman.
Yeah.
And I saw Marriage Story and I saw Pain and Glory, the Pedro Almodovar film, all in the cinema. I had to review all of them. And that was like, to me, the week where I go, oh, wow, this is the best year for film. And then Uncut Gems, I didn't get to see till the very, very end of the year because it didn't really come out in Australia properly.
It was like almost like 2020, the start of.
Yeah, it was getting pretty close.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I saw it, I go, oh, no, this is absolutely my favorite film of this year. And I think it is a rare case where this film was like an absolute instant classic the moment it hit.
Yeah.
And then I kept on chasing it and chasing it after. Like, you
There's
know,
so much in it. Yeah. Even the soundtrack, I love. It really got me onto the artist. I forget his name.
Is it
Daniel Lobatan?
Yeah, because it's just like that cosmic score, how it kind of brings in that energy that you feel when you look into the opal. I think there's nothing quite like the way they construct that score.
Best soundtrack for a colonoscopy I've ever heard.
Absolutely. And I've heard that doctors are like playing it live in colonoscopy. They put a little speaker in as the camera travels through just so your bowels can be knowledgeable of what's going on.
Colonoscopy guys would have loved that movie.
Yeah, they were like, finally something for us to show the majesty of our work.
Yeah.
But that's Uncut Gems, Aaron. Any other thoughts before we move on to your weekly titles?
No, very handsome guy, I think. It was so many non-actors in it.
Mm.
That's cool, right?
The discovery of Julia Fox. I agree. I think that's a strength of the Safdies is they have that unconventional casting where it's like not just be like Julia Fox, but they go, who are the native people in this world? Like who are the people that populate this city and populate this world? And they find like the biggest oddballs, like that guy with the helicopter. Oh my God, he could be my style idol.
Those weird twins, everything like that.
The weird twins. Like, I read that they were like autograph scalpers, those guys.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And there's a gem guy who's like on TikTok and is a big gem guy.
The guy with the big voice like this.
Maybe,
that guy?
Yeah. And
I love him.
Yeah. And the guy who's like his friend who's like, oh, you owe me money, Howard. You know, the young guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, it's just such a winning film. Like, I would say that. Man, I'm really glad you brought this because I feel like this is one of those movies that, as well, you and I connected a lot over.
Yeah, and Angela.
And Angela.
I mean, I got to say, yeah, great flick.
Great flick. Put it on the record, great flick.
Weekly.
All right, Aaron, we're going through our weekly titles next. And the first one we've got here, far out, man. I might actually say that I think the movie you're about to present to us is the best science fiction film of the 21st century thus far.
Are you actually serious?
I'm not kidding you. I know I have a sense of humor about who I am and what I do, but there are some times where I must put my hand on my heart and go on the record. And this is a moment where I'm getting completely honest. Yeah. I believe this film, by Alfonso Cuarón, starring Clive Owen, Children of Men.
Sci-fi.
Is the best science fiction film of the 21st century.
That's 21st century means 2000 to 3000.
Yet. Okay, the new millennium. I'm putting it out there. The whole 21st millennium.
21st century is 2000 to 2100.
2100, yeah. But I'll go up to 3000. So far, there's not much competing with that. I mean, at the moment, I can say that. It's the best science fiction film of the second millennium.
Wow.
Since Christ's birth or death. I don't know when we start counting, but from whatever that counting point is, we've got about 1,000 years before there's not really any movies that compete with it. And then we've got about 100 years of films that compete with it. And then a new gap. So far, 24 years. It's the best in 24 years so far, but going up to 3,000.
My favorite movie from the first millennia is Year One.
I hate to break this to you. Year One actually came out in the second millennium. I believe it came out in 2009.
And I guess it's set before the first millennium as well.
Just days before. Part of it is set days before, but then I think it goes into Year One.
No, because Year One's about cavemen, right?
I think they're cavemen that meet biblical people too.
Okay.
I actually have seen...
Oh, I don't know.
I've seen Year One 3 times. I think I might have the record apart from the editors of the film for who's seen Year One the most.
Year One.
But I like caveman characters, so obviously I like Year One.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. So we're talking about Year One. We're talking about Year One here today on the podcast. But why? What is it about Children of Men that connects with you so much?
Children of Men, I don't know. I just watched it at a time where I was like watching a lot of dystopian stuff. Mm-hmm. I think I was maybe like a teen or something.
Yeah.
And
worried about the future.
They were studying dystopian high school. You know when you first study a film and you're like, at first English is like, oh, that's a... like that subject sucks and stuff like that, but then you watch a movie and they do an analysis and you feel like you can actually do like a bit
you're
of
like holy shit, this is better than a fucking book, man.
Yeah.
This is a movie where Clive Owen looks awesome and is wearing cool cool tracky clothes riding around the apocalypse. I think that this it's that great speculative premise of what if by the year 2027 men can no longer ejaculate with semen that's populated by sperm.
And that's not far off.
I mean, with mobile phone technology hanging so close to one's nuts, it could be a quite plausible future now. We're only a few years away.
Yeah, it's 3 years off. But
where were you when baby Diego was born?
I
think he was born probably 10 years ago now.
Really?
Yeah, the last man on Earth.
The youngest man, baby Diego.
And
he was murdered, no?
He was not yet. 2027, he gets murdered.
Yeah,
he was murdered in a pub brawl or something like that.
It's so funny.
Really? I think it's quite tragic. you look at this film with a warped sense of humor.
Yeah. I think it's mad because at the time I was like a teenager. There was a lot of kind of fighting in it. And the teacher talked about like one scene where there's like blood on the camera and they just left it.
That like blew my mind.
That's from video games, you know?
Yeah, this is like when you get wasted in GTA.
But I watched this movie and then at that point in my life, I thought that Cuarón was going to be my favorite director. So I watched all of the stuff like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y tu mamá también. Wow, I learned a few things from that one.
Watched that with one of my closest male friends. We just watched it together.
And a slightly older woman. That's the perfect way to watch this movie. Your close male friend and a woman slightly older than you that you don't know very well.
Yeah. On a road trip. I was like, whoa, this is kind of like what we're doing.
Wow, I hope you get a few ideas. I won't say which ones. But I love this film. I think what it does best for me, like I saw it in cinemas, would have come out when I was like 15 or 14 years old. Yeah, would you believe it? I was once that young.
That's crazy.
It is crazy to go all the way back.
And you loved movies then.
And I did love movies. It was probably the year that I fully switched on to becoming a complete...
Watching this movie.
Yeah, it would have been around that time because it was like there was. It was a year that I started going to the movies by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I just want to see every movie. So I would just go by myself on the weekends.
Wow.
And with Children of Men...
Was this considered a blockbuster or... A smaller than blockbuster.
I don't think it was quite blockbuster, but there was enough chitter chatter around this movie being quite significant and being, I guess, like that exciting next level for a filmmaker to make it to. I can't even remember why I saw it. I think I liked Clive Owen.
Yeah.
Like, that's funny for a 14-year-old boy. My access point was like, God, I love that guy from Closer. I got to see him in a sci-fi movie.
What's Clive been up to lately?
He was in the season of Curb Enthusiasm 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's mostly what I know.
Holy.
But I really loved him in this film. And I think for me what it was is it created a vision of the future that I could see coming out of where we are. Like not just not the speculative stuff exactly, but aesthetically just going like, oh, I can understand it. And then just being like, okay, well, Michael Caine is playing someone who's probably just a little bit older than my dad.
Yeah.
So it's like seeing the way that generation, like the way they kind of played with generation, the way generations age. There's something about that that I found really like quite immersive in a way that I hadn't seen sci-fi done for someone who's living at that time. You know,
yeah.
Like living at that time, like it felt very current. And it was that idea as well of that the dystopia being placed and it being like that a satire of modern times. I remember reading the book by P.D. James like right after I saw it. And have you ever read it?
I didn't know it was a book. It's an adaptation.
It's an adaptation of the book. And to my memory, at least part of the book is based on, or it's written in the style of diary entries for the Clive Owen character, Theo.
Mm.
And I found like to the way they're able to adapt this to make it feel very present tense from like this diary style book, it's quite thrilling. Like I think that this is one of those movies that has like that actual propulsive energy, not unlike Uncut Gems.
Yeah. Unlike Uncut Gems.
Yeah. Like Uncut Gems. like Uncut Gems is what I meant. I wanted to talk about as well about like, you know, those performances, Clive Owen and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Julianne Moore, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Claire Hope Ashiti, who plays the young girl who is found to be holding a baby that could be the future hope for the world. But Pam Ferris, who plays the other person that's on the road trip a lot of the time with Clive Owen, playing like this older activist type. Do you know who that actress is?
No.
She plays Miss Trunchbull in Matilda.
That's great. That's two of the best movies.
Two of the best
movies. Two of the most dystopian movies.
Talk about having your cake and eating it too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so Miss Trunchbull's there. Yeah, I don't know. But short-term dystopia, that's like a new thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, I think this was like the first one I ever saw that was like, it didn't go heaps into the future. You know, it's like not about flying cars and stuff. It's like...
All the cars are still Subarus.
But then all dystopian films now are like... It's like 10 years later. You know?
Yeah. I think that's something that I'm really drawn to. And this is like a successful version of it where it's like in the far of future. And it's like, okay, it's 6 years' time.
Yeah.
Like there were a few...
It's because technology is going so quick, you know? Like
fast.
That movie Her,
mm.
Black Mirror, it's all like about like next week, you know?
Exactly. And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to start wearing high-waisted pants if it's going to be about next week. Yeah. I think that there's something about this film that... As well, it's like, I love that you're talking about those one takes where you capture the blood on it.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen the making of this film where they show the other one take where they're inside the car and they're playing like that?
Oh, they're driving and stuff?
Yeah,
and
play
it's spooky.
Yeah. Like, the way that they... Have you seen how they did it? So, there's like a roving camera inside and literally... The car is moving along, but the car's on a rig. So to keep the camera moving on the inside is like, you know, I remember they're playing a game with like passing a ping pong ball, like they're spitting it at each other and catching it.
Yeah.
I've
seen this.
The way the camera does it, like the chairs move out, like they slide out of place so the camera can go into the first person view of like all, it's like, it's truly incredible.
It's crazy. And he just thought of this stuff.
Yeah, it was him and Emmanuel Lubezki, the cinematographer, who is one of the all-time greatest ever.
I like this guy, yeah.
I've also like got a few little things here to the inspiration of it. Quaron used the film The Battle of Algiers as a model for social reconstruction in preparation for production, presenting the film to Clive Owen as an example of his vision for Children of Men.
In English?
Oh, it's a crazy French-era film about the collapse of society and capitalism. And then yes. You've got another thing. In order to create philosophical and social framework for the film, the director read literature by another one of her heroes, Slavoj Žižek.
I know this guy.
Yeah.
He's kind of spitting and stuff like that.
Yeah,
gesticulating.
He's one of the most wild gesticulators slash off.
That's so interesting. Do you think he knows about this? He would have seen this film.
I think so. He seems like a cinephile. I think
he loves every movie.
He loves most movies.
He likes Rake.
Is that
He's seen ABC's Rake.
Has he seen Fisk?
He might have.
He might have seen Fisk.
I would love if he saw Fisk. He would have some new ideas about it.
Yeah, I think I have a field day picking apart your philosophies, mister. Well, that is Children of Men. Any final thoughts on it, Aaron, that you'd love to share?
Look at this. Both have eyes in it. Very interesting.
Both have prominent eyes.
So I hope your fourth recommendation has is eye-based.
I hope so. I hope it's eye-based. Well, speaking of eye-based, one would have your eyes widened with excitement at your third pick here. One of the great... To me, I would say this is a true video store classic because I feel like this is... The video store is where this film would have been discovered in Australia. You've got action comedy, martial arts film hybrid... From one of the great visual masters of comedy, Stephen Chow. You've got his 2001 Opus Shaolin Soccer.
Comedy.
Yes.
When did you discover this film?
This would have been very early days for me.
Wow, pre-natal.
So if you want to know about...
Year one, if you will.
Before year one. This is pre-year one stuff. Yeah. This is a type of video store that maybe you... not familiar with, maybe you are, but there's a type of growing up, the actual video store I probably went to the most, and it was like kind of exciting, like not much stuff from like Chinese culture was exciting to me, but this was exciting because it was like a video store, but it was all like Chinese movies, so I like my dad would go in and just ask the person there, do you have this and or that, and it's like they wouldn't have it, they'd have like bootlegs of
bootlegs.
I think bootlegs, like very plastic sleeves and stuff. Maybe they were real, but
Like the proper bootleg stuff. You've got that like that little plastic sleeve.
Yeah.
You've got like an approximation cover that's like a printout of some kind with like kind of...
Fake text on the back.
Yeah, fake text, like a lot of hieroglyphics almost it feels like coming off them. And it's kind of got a lot of the times like printed on like... They look like shiny Pokemon cards, you know? There's something about it where they've got this reflective energy to them. But that's like, I think especially for people in Australia, like a key way of discovering films. Like I always used to go to the markets and get like so many bootlegs growing up.
Yeah, well, this was just like, you collect Blu-rays. My dad was collecting VCDs.
We love VCD culture.
This was a big VCD thing. Mm-hmm. And I was getting obsessed with soccer in like 2005 or 2006.
Yeah.
So I was like, wanted to know if they had any soccer games. Because I'd ask my dad like if they had English movies or like. But this time I was like, do they have a soccer game?
Do they have Green Street Hooligans?
But they were like, oh, we have this one game from like the 2002 World Cup or something like that. Like, and... We also have this movie, Shaolin Soccer. And my dad's like, this is a funny movie. And, you know, like we'd watch like Jackie Chan movies. Mm-hmm. That was like, everyone would love that. He'd watch like Chinese dramas and stuff. But Jackie Chan was for the whole family. And we watched deep cuts like Who Am I?
Oh, I love Who Am I.
That's a deep cut, right?
That's a fairly deep cut, I would say. Okay. There's so many Jackie Chan movies I go, well, I've never even heard of them. You know, there's some that are really deep hidden within.
It was crazy. I think he goes to Africa and Who Am I or something.
Far out. Hopefully he finds the answer to the question there. But
he should watch Year One. I mean.
It might, it'd be pretty interesting to see Jackie Chan's take on Year One. Yeah. It'd be pretty interesting. I think as well like that, that Jackie Chan is such like a great way into... like for a lot of people our age and maybe even a little bit older, like into like a bigger world of cinema. And the other one I used to love growing up and I rewatched recently was, have you ever seen Gorgeous?
No.
The Jackie, it's like a rom-com with Jackie Chan. And it's like, it's great.
Is he good in it?
He's great in it, man. Really? And he's got really great fight scenes. Like, it's a rom-com martial arts hybrid film. And
do you think Jackie Chan will have an Adam Sandler-esque turn?
I believe it, yes. Yeah. I think Jackie Chan. I would actually, to bring it back, Jackie Chan and Stephen Chow, I would love to see them team up.
Yeah.
Because I think like...
With Noah Baumbach
and heck, maybe Joaquin Phoenix as Joker.
Yes.
I think that would be my ideal movie. But I think with Stephen Chow alongside like Kung Fu Hustle,
yeah,
these like absolute video store classic. I remember at Mondo Movies, we had them in our cult section and they were constantly like in rotation. There'd be stuff that I'd play on the screens in there. But a huge access point to like a broader range of cinema for people out there. If people haven't seen Shaolin Soccer, I don't even know how else to describe it, but it is like, it's a sports film.
Yes.
But it's surrealist comedy, highly visual martial arts film.
Mm-hmm.
And the broad premise is, after a fateful mistake costing his career, an ex-soccer player bum meets a Shaolin Kung Fu student trying to spread the word of Kung Fu. The ex-soccer player helps reconcile with his five brothers and teaches them soccer, adding Shaolin Kung Fu as a twist.
Yeah.
So it's a very unique and highly stylized film. Is there an aspect of this film, because it's so broad in its visual comedy, do you think there was any part of that that like soaked into your brain?
Maybe. I don't know. It's like watching it again recently from like the Western lens, you're like, this is so like experimental. Like it feels like crazy, absurd, like weird. But like I think when you're growing up, like in Chinese culture and watching it with everyone, like that's just what a comedy is, you know what I mean? And maybe like I guess it's like different to Hollywood comedy and it's like comedy language, but I guess like the silliness of it is what is like so big about Chinese comedy compared to like Western comedy, which is kind of more like about like the writing and stuff.
Yeah, the
like
wit of it or whatever.
Yeah.
But this is about like visualizing.
How silly can you get?
Yeah, it's true. Like how wacky you can get. Yeah. I was reading about like that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kind of trying to come up with like a unique premise for a kung fu movie. So he came to the world of sports because he wanted to also like over enhance everything with CGI to over enhance the kung fu. And I got this quote from him. Actually, the over-the-top CG and kinetic soccer moves were inspiration that came from the classic Japanese manga series Captain Tsubasa. The animation was very big in Hong Kong over 10 years ago when it swept kids of all ages and even adults loved it. It has a cult following in Europe as well, but it was only possible with pen and ink back then. Now with the advent of CGI, it can be really done. The idea of combining it with Kung Fu was in my head for many years, but we had to wait for the CG technology to mature.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, it's like, it is an anime, this movie. It's crazy.
Yeah. And just the way that he's able to do it, I think the way he's continued to do that, like Kung Fu Hustle, it even ups at the ante even more.
Yeah.
Have you seen his rom-com The Mermaid as well?
I've not seen it.
That, like,
is it funny?
It's really funny. Like, it extends everything further, but it's kind of like with not so much from the kung fu perspective. It's still like in the, like it's in more of like that magic realist or fantasy type space as well. Yeah.
Is there fighting in it?
I can't remember. I don't know.
I've got to watch The Mermaid.
You got to see The Mermaid. It was at one point in time the highest grossing Chinese film ever.
Really?
I don't know if it still is, but it was like a big record holder. But Stephen Chow, I think, is like one of the great like comedy creators of all time.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's seeped in, but I don't know. I do Western style, so.
Yeah, Western style comedy. You want that Western lens, man.
Fisk is Western style.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to push for it to be more, like use more CGI and stuff like that. There's more like a manga.
There's not enough kung fu in Fisk and Watch. We got to do Fisk meets Fist.
Fisk of Fury.
Okay, Aaron, any other thoughts about Shaolin Soccer before we move on?
Funny, exciting, sports movie. It's like the movie Goal.
Yeah. Wow, that's Goal Missed a Few Tricks, I'd say. Goal Missed a Few Tricks.
Yeah.
Well, if you could make any kind of sport into that, would you still choose soccer? Would you choose something more from...
Stand-up comedy.
Fuck, no.
Stand-up comedy is begging for a sports movie.
That's true. The raw comedy competition. If we do the competitive nature of raw comedy meets kung fu. I don't think anyone's tried that yet. No. I might be mistaken. Yeah. I don't think anyone's tried it quite yet.
Would you make it?
I think we could make it. Okay. I think that's how we you and I start collaborating together again, is on this absolute opus.
Kung Fu Mike.
Fuck. Okay, that's not bad.
And the guy is called Mike.
Too. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Mike. Okay. It's writing itself. Okay, let me just pop that in an AI generator right now. Spit it out by the end of the podcast.
Staff pick.
Well, Aaron, we've come to the time in this mm-hmm. where I must bestow upon you a staff pick recommendation based on your picks, based on your taste, please. And of course, based on our prior friendships. Let the record show we're friends.
Many, for many years.
Many, many, many years.
Over 35 years.
35 years since year one. Since year one of this beautiful millennium. I actually, the first film that I came up with, because I was like, okay, I want this urban feeling of Uncut Gems, and because I always knew that you would pick that. Like, from the moment I asked you to do this, I knew Uncut Gems was going to come back at
me.
Are
you serious?
I knew it. Because I think I associate that movie with you.
Thanks, yeah.
So I knew I could feel it. But also, I'm 15% psychic. So, you know, it could have been...
85% Greek, 15% psychic.
Wow, quick math. I appreciate it. But I remember, like, I just always associate that film with you. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, at first I'm going like, you know, what are those urban films? I was like, okay, well, I want a little bit of, like, the wackiness of Shaolin Soccer. And I want a little bit of, like, that kind of, like, that weird immersive quality that Children of Men have. And the first film that came to mind was a movie called Job's World. And then I remembered you and I have seen that movie together.
Yeah.
So it didn't come back as a recommendation for you. But let it be known, if you like those three movies that we've mentioned already, Job's World is actually the perfect recommendation.
He eats fish in it, right?
He certainly does. And yeah, he delivers weed or drugs.
Yeah, it's even more disgusting than Uncut Gems.
Yeah. It's a fun, like, one night in New York type movie. I love Job's World. That was the first thing that came to mind. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, what else in that Uncut Gems world? And I did think about the John Cassavetes film, one of my favorites, The Killing of a Chinese Bookie. But then I thought we might start a war if I recommend a new movie made by a Greek guy where a Chinese guy is killed even in the title. So I thought, oh, maybe not quite there. But then I kind of kept expanding.
I'll watch it still.
You'd love it. Yeah. But, you know. Don't tell them I sent you. Don't tell them I sent you to that one. But then the one that I kind of came up with was, okay, I want to come back home because you're no longer in Australia. Mm-hmm. We miss you here, brother. Come back anytime. Yeah, come back anytime, man. But I was like, okay, what can we do? I was like, in that space, I want to give you something in that dystopian space as well, because mm-hmm. I think we do dystopian films really good in Australia. So I've got a film that I would describe as a wacky Australian dystopian satirical action film that is way ahead of its time, that I think it kind of pushes out of urban a little bit more into suburban, which is a film by one of Neighbors. My heroes, Brian Trenchard-Smith.
Oh my gosh.
Called Dead End Driving.
Cult.
This is the new beautiful 4K copy we have here at the video store. And this is an old Blu-ray copy that's signed by the great man.
Wow.
Have you ever seen this film?
Is this considered an old movie or a modern movie?
It is from 1986.
Wow.
So the previous millennium. I'd say it's one of the best films of the previous millennium.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Have you seen this film before?
I've never seen this film, no.
I think,
Dead End Driving.
Yeah, I was... the other thing that kind of brought to mind for me, hold them up proudly, was... A few years ago, you and I were writing something not unlike this space.
Yes.
I think that this, on reflection, when I started thinking about this film, it would have actually been a rather huge influence on me on this project that you and I abandoned. We were writing together a sci-fi, dystopian, satirical Australian comedy where you played the Prime Minister in 3010.
10 PM 3010.
10 PM 3010, one of the great abandoned projects. One of the great abandoned projects that, you know, we were trying to make it before COVID, and then COVID happened and go, well, this world is different now. How can we make this? But I think for me, this was like one of the primary influences in like the kind of tone of that film.
Yeah.
So the way I describe this, it is like a rougher, grittier, much funnier version of like that Mad Max sci-fi dystopia. It's set in a future where the troubled youth are everywhere. Like they're the scourge of like the higher ups in society, the government.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that they fight the teenagers, the hoodlums, and what they consider to be like the second class citizens of Australia, the troublemakers, is they all the teenagers go to this drive-in cinema overnight in like their souped up cars, and overnight they lock the doors and the drive-in becomes like a concentration camp for teenagers.
Wow.
And for, you know, the youth of Australia. It's got this great sense of humor, this really like wacky satirical edge, because it's made by our own Chad Smith, who is like a true old school lefty, like a real old school lefty who loves to like send messages in his like genre pictures. And this is the one where I think the message is the most interesting, because it is like all about how do we treat people in Australia. And there's like, as the film goes further and further, you know, we've got duels where guys fight each other with cricket bats. It's got this great like Mad Max with neon aesthetic.
Yeah.
And it just looks so beautiful the way it's shot on film. This new 4K restoration looks just like it, miraculous,
stunning.
Beautiful, stunning, stunning, stunning. But what really gets to me is the way that kind of evolves, where later on in the film, more people get shipped into the drive-in cinema and you start seeing it become like a concentration camp for refugees. And I think that is like something that people turn a blind eye to. Mm. But here in 1986, it's commenting on it and it's like right on our doorstep back then. So I think that this film is so spectacular. One of my all-time favorite films. I think you get a real big kick out of it.
Thank you for this recommendation. It sounds awesome. Like, you've recommended me great movies. I hate teenagers and Chinese bookies, so but you've really hit the nail on the head.
Oh, that's my plan, to get nails out there and be hammering them down with my mighty fist.
This sounds awesome. I can't believe I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I think you'd really dig it, man. It's like quite, it's just the way they describe Brian Trenchard-Smith, he's got a sense of humor.
He signed it and everything.
He signed it, yeah. I've had the good fortune of like, you know, hosting him a few times in my life. And he's just like one of those filmmakers I greatly admire. And this is one of Quentin Tarantino's favorite Australian films.
Really?
As well. Yes, yes, yes. It's another famous video store clerk, Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, he's quite popular. Is this guy still making beautiful movies?
He's not making films at the moment. He's turned to writing. He wrote like a 700-page memoir that is his adventures in the B-movie trade. That is like a fantastic read.
You've read it?
I've read it, yeah.
All 700 pages?
All 700 pages.
What does page 373 say?
Page 333 covers his time making a made-for-the-government movie called Hospitals Don't Burn Down, which is where he made a film, government PSA, where they actually burned down hospitals because there was an epidemic in Australia where old people would be smoking durries in beds in their hospital and they would start burning them down because they would just catch a light. So he got forced by the government to make a film about that. And it's basically a 45-minute disaster film where you watch a hospital burn down from the inside. He's a ripper. He's like one of the great filmmakers.
That's sick.
Yeah, I think you would absolutely love it. Well, Aaron, thank you for joining me in the last video. So you've got your new release title, which is Uncut Gems, which I think is going to have to move to weekly after being picked up twice.
Yeah.
Popular title here. More people need to see it. Then we're going to go to Children of Men, one of the great science fiction films of the new millennium.
Mm-hmm.
The 2000s era. It is one of the greats. Then what was your next weekly?
Shaolin Soccer.
One of the all times. And then I gave you the recommendation of Dead End Drive-In. Aaron, thank you for joining me in the last video store, baby.
Thanks for having me.
Do you have anything that you'd like to promote? Any plug-a-roonies?
Peace on the world.
Wow. Let it be known, Aaron's the first person to call for peace. Most people have called for war and we've had to cut it out.
The last video store.
What a blast to revisit this episode with Aaron. I adore Aaron. The movie I recommended him, Dead End Driving, is such a bang, one of my favorite films of all time, especially when it comes to genre cinema here in Australia. Definitely go check out what everything that Aaron is doing at the moment, and recommend The Last Video Store to your friends while we are doing all these re-releases of our best episodes. What an easy way to get one of your friends indoctrinated into the cult of Alexi Toliopoulos and his film empire. I'm going to give another little shout out to my comedy festival show that I'm touring this year. It's called VHS. I'll be talking about my adventures in movie loving. I got a freaking prestigious Moosehead Award for developing this show, so you better believe it has to be good, otherwise I'll be freaking shot into the sun. It's Adelaide Fringe, Sydney Comedy Festival, Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and Brisbane Comedy Festival. Hopefully I'll go to some other places as well. I would love to hang out with more of the Return Shoot Rats on the tour. And also, big shout out, Sydney Opera House Saturday Film Club that I run is starting back again in January 24th. The film is personal favorite of mine, All About My Mother. The co-host that day will be Goran Stolevski, who is an incredible filmmaker of films like Of an Age, Housekeeping for Beginners. Really one of the best guests we've also ever had on The Last Video Store. Jump back and listen to that episode too. And book tickets. All the links are in the show notes. Until next time, keep seeing films, keep sharing films with us here at The Last Video Store, and hang out on the Instagram, Last Video Store Batuta, because I am, during these re-release episodes, doing something I've only started doing recently, which is putting all the recommendations up there and asking what you would have recommended. So until next time, see you at the movies, babe.